I see everyone back with us this evening. If you will be turning your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 7 in just a moment. You know, oftentimes in our lives there's something that just keeps dogging us. There's something that is always bothering, something that may be always on our mind, something that may distract us, as we talked a bit about this morning, from our work with the Lord and for the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7, Paul tells us of a thorn that he had in the flesh. Something that to a degree, it seemed, had hindered him, and he thought that if he had gotten rid of it, that he might be able to do a better job. But notice what takes place, what Paul has to say here, beginning in verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders, and mighty deeds." Here Paul had besought the Lord on three occasions to have this thorn removed. And the Lord's simple response was, "My grace is sufficient for thee." I'd like for us this evening to take a few moments and take a closer look at this passage and see what you and I can do, how we can emulate Paul in this when the thorn remains that bothers us. That's the title of our lesson this evening, When the Thorn Remains. What can we do? Well, as Paul did, he sought the Lord, number one. When the thorn remains, whatever it is that may be bugging us, whatever it is that we may want to get rid of, we need to remember to whom we should turn. We should turn to God. That's what Paul did. On three occasions, he besought the Lord, it says. So God should be sought. The word there for that he besought the Lord, the word besought there comes from the Greek parakaleo, means that he entreated the Lord. He implored the Lord. Friends, he begged the Lord. You get a picture of Paul as he had done with the Corinthians already in beseeching them, being on his knees, begging them. He's doing the same with God. He is being on his knees here, begging God to remove whatever this thorn was. Whether it was the persecutions that he suffered, whether it may have been his eyesight, whether it was whatever it was, he felt that he could do a better job if he got rid of it. So what did he do? He sought out the Lord. He went to God in prayer, friends. So when the thorn remains in our lives, the first thing we need to do is hit our knees. We need to go to God in prayer. God should be sought. Notice what David writes in Psalm 34 and verse 4. David writes there, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." How did David find deliverance? Friends, he sought the Lord. I'm mindful of the time that he was in Keilah. Saul's chasing him through the wilderness, chasing him through the cities, and he's there in Keilah, seeking refuge there, and he goes to God in prayer. He sought the Lord. Wanted to know of the Lord if he stayed in Keilah, would the people there deliver him up? God delivered him because he told him that if he stayed, he'd be handed over to Saul. He sought the Lord. Psalm 18 and verse 6, David again writes of seeking the Lord. "In my distress," he says, "I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God." We are to seek the Lord. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Begin reading with me in verse 36. Jesus here has reached the end of his life. He's fixing to be betrayed by Judas. His soul is vexed nigh unto death. And so what does he do in this instance? Notice beginning in verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." Could we not say here that Christ, that our Lord and Savior, had a thorn in the flesh? He was about to go to the cross. He was about to suffer and die for the remission of our sins. And yet his human side cried out. He feared death, as do we all. But notice what he says. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." Friends, he went to God in prayer. We have the perfect example in Jesus Christ. When we have a thorn that remains, let us seek God out. Number two, when the thorn remains, we need to remember that God is faithful. Paul sought after God 3 times to remove this flesh, and Paul then records, "And he said unto me." God answered him. Friends, God answers prayers. It wasn't necessarily the answer that Paul was looking for, but he answered him. "He said unto me, He is faithful." Psalm 31 and verse 22, David writes, "Therefore I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee." Friends, we may feel at times that we've been cut off from the Lord, that the Lord does not hear us when we cry out unto Him. David, you remember, on several occasions felt himself in the deepest pit of despair, crying unto the Lord. He may have felt at times that he had been forsaken by the Lord. And yet, what does he say here in this psalm? Even when he felt that he had been cut off, David says, "I know that you heard me. You heard me when I cried unto you, when I went to you in supplication." Friends, we need to remember that God is faithful. He may not give us the answer that we're looking for. He may not give us the answer that we really want. But friends, he answers prayer. God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we learn of God's faithfulness. Paul writing there says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful," he says, "who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape." Friends, God is faithful. He's going to be there. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 43. Again, we have Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Soul vexed nigh unto death. And we read there in verse 43, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven." Doing what? What was his purpose in being there? Friends, the angel strengthened him. Gave him the strength. I don't know what the angel said. He said anything. But can you imagine the comfort that he must have felt knowing that his Father was there? His Father supported him. Was going to help him through that time. Friends, God is faithful. Number three, when the thorn remains, remember that grace is sufficient. Grace is sufficient. God's answer to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for thee. Turn with me to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Notice verses 23 and 24. God's going to take care of us. We may be persecuted. We may suffer. But God is going to see us through. Notice beginning in verse 23 of Psalm 31. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Friends, regardless of what we go through in this life, God is going to see us through. It may cost us our life, but think of the reward that we have of God. Remember, as we have read this passage of 2 Corinthians 12, remember what Paul records for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Everything that he had suffered, being stoned, being beaten of the Jews, being beaten with rods, being shipwrecked 3 times, spending a night and a day in the Mediterranean. And yet, he continues to preach the gospel. How could he do that? Because God's grace was sufficient. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, we read this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's grace will see us through. 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How thankful should we be for that? To know that God's grace is sufficient. It's enough to see us through any trial that we may come across. Number 4, when the thorn remains, remember that God knows best. When the thorn remains, remember that God knows best. Notice what he says to Paul. My strength is made perfect, made complete in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Again, I would call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and things there that Paul suffered. What was his purpose in telling the Corinthians all these things? Well, for one thing, they had attacked his apostleship. They had accused him of not preaching the true gospel. And Paul calls their attention to these things. Why else would he suffer for that cause? Paul found himself in weakness, and yet God made his strength be known. And so Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 34, we read, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? I'm mindful as I read that passage of what Isaiah writes, that his ways are higher than our ways, that his ways are not our ways. We must remember that God knows best. Anything that God demands of us, anything that God commands of us, friends, we need to remember that He put that in place for our benefit. We read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, Christ speaking there, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. God knows best. He knows what we need. He knows what we need to see us through. He knows what we need to be sure that we make it. He knows our hearts. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. First Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 18. Paul writes, therefore the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. For where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, don't miss this, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. How could we ever deny that God knows best? Isaiah 40:11-17 shows us as much as well. Remember as well that when the thorn remains, friends, we are to endure gladly. We are to endure gladly. Whatever it may be, God may not choose to remove that thorn from us. So when the thorn remains, endure it with a smile on your face. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:30. If I must needs glory, Paul says, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Paul had just listed everything that he had suffered. 2 Corinthians 12:5, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. He was able to press forward regardless of what he had suffered. Paul also said in another place, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to do what? Be content. Be happy. Turn back a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice with me verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Turn over another page or two to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning of verse 8. Paul writes there, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Let's think about what Paul is saying there. He says in verse 8, we're troubled on every side. No matter where he turned, Paul says, there's something troubling me. Or someone coming after me. No matter where we turn, we're troubled on every side. And yet he says, I'm not distressed. Why? Because he had the Father. He had God in his support. He says, we are perplexed. But we're not in despair. We're not desperate. We're persecuted. But God is there with us. We're not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Always what? Bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, regardless of what Paul suffered, what could you always see? You could always see Christ in him. And so regardless of what we may suffer, friends, regardless of what we may be going through even at this moment, people still ought to be able to see Christ in us. We are to gladly endure whatever it is that comes our way. Doesn't James say as much in James 1:2-4? Talking about patience, let patience have her perfect work. We are to be happy in whatsoever trials come our way, James says. How? How can we be happy and be suffering? Because we have God on our side. We can know that we can make it through. And we'll be stronger when we go through that. Number 6, and finally, When the thorn remains, remember that God will lift you up. Glory is given. Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am weak, then am I strong. Friends, God will lift us up. Notice 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Remember who Paul was, or used to be. But God called him out of that, that he might preach the gospel. And remember that in the book, and really both books of the Corinthians, he's having to defend his apostleship. And he says he labored more abundantly than the other apostles. But when we look here, he says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Friends, not only is glory is given to God. Paul didn't revel in what he had accomplished. He gave the glory to God and allowed God to do the lifting. Remember that when the thorn remains, glory is to be given to God. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. Be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, when the thorn remains, remember that God should be sought. Paul said, I besought the Lord. When the thorn remains, remember that God is faithful. God answered his prayer. When the thorn remains, remember that God's grace is sufficient. Remember, number four, that God knows best. Remember that you are to endure gladly. And remember, friends, that glory is given unto the Lord and God will lift you up. Friend, are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friends, if that's the case, you indeed have a serious thorn in your side. Thorn of sin. If you would have that thorn removed this evening, would you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? For it is coming in contact with His blood and His blood only, through the baptism and water for the remission of sins, that thorn of sin can be removed. Would you obey His gospel this evening? Would you be His? Are you here this evening having done that? Have you fallen away? Would you come home? Would you be His again? Won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?